Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We signed off, and you, Lawrence Holmes, said when we come back, Cubs could just be a half a game in first place.
What the difference the day made.
11-0 over two games.
24 little hours.
No runs for the woeful Cardinals. And the Cubs leave the brutal heat and feisty stupidity of St. Louis.
Wilson, you know, there are times where he just does these things and you don't know, have any understanding why.
Wilson just found out about the river.
I don't know, man. Is that what he was at? I mean, that is a hang with him.
Wilson to calm down is like telling the little one, don't touch that burner, it's hot. It's just going to fire him up. He runs hot.
He does.
No doubt about it.
The river getting reversed and the sewage getting dumped on you, that's a hang with him.
St. Louisans were not happy about that.
Hang with
him. But man, there's some feisty stupidity going on down there. But yeah, well, look at that, a split.
Here's a 2-2. Swing and a miss, struck him out. And Palencia gets back-to-back strikeouts.
Reached back and fires a little toasted ravioli right by him.
It's a delicacy, you know.
After this, I'm going to eat some toasted ravioli. I am. There you go. Do you guys know the difference between deep fried and toasted yet? Is that still figuring that out? I don't know if you toast things in oil. I'm just going to go out on a limb, and I'm dying to see what your toasters look like. Yeah, you know, a toaster, it's like round and it fills with oil. That's not a toaster. That's called a pot filled with oil.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
We thank you for making us your choice on a Friday afternoon. Looks like it's going to be a great weekend in the city. Pride parade this weekend for folks getting out there and celebrating who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. And baseball is back. The White Sox are back. The Cubs are back in action.
White Sox are here against the San Francisco Giants, who are a very good team, loaded
yes,
with interesting broadcasters. And Raviel Devers is here.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all kinds of good baseball available to see down there. And, of course, the Cubs in Houston.
Shout out to our guy McDoink, Connor McKnight. Had a really couple of good days in the booth with Steve Stone. It was great to hear him. He's terrific at the gig. So
yeah.
It's fun to see him be able to sit in for John and them have a good broadcast.
And tonight on CHSN, they do their all-access broadcast. And Chris, that's Chris Withers' baby. And they do some interesting things on that broadcast, including
I worked with Chris Withers.
You did, right? Including
yeah.
talking to the starting pitcher when he's done over by the clubhouse there.
Yeah, that's
back.
A very spring training type thing to do because that's usually what happens. Like the starter will get their three innings of work. And then when they leave a game in spring training,
yeah.
the media will go and talk with that person. And then they're get in the shower and get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
They're usually gone by the seventh inning.
But four different players and the manager. So three players and the manager all going to be mic'd up tonight and a very interactive all-access broadcast on a Friday night on CHSN.
Yeah, and the Cubs are taking on the first place. Very good, kind of strange Houston Astros tonight. We will have coverage starting at 6:40. Tonight, is that when the pregame starts on the score? I should probably just read the top of the doc because that's usually where he puts stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
6:35 is when our pregame show begins. Three-game series with the Astros on the score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
Can I tell you that the Colorado Rockies...
Oh, here we go.
No, forget
it. Are they at home tonight?
No, the Astros...
Should I get on a plane?
The Astros, in their 80th game... Their manager, Joe Espada, used his 76th different batting order.
Wow.
76 different batting orders through 80 games.
Okay.
So they've had a lot of injuries. They haven't had Yordan Alvarez since May 2nd.
Yeah, they've had to move a lot of pieces around. And they're also getting over not having Yordan, losing Bregman, losing Tucker, and yet somehow... Here they are.
They're 32-18 without Yordan Alvarez. I mean,
he's such a monster.
I know, but they've got the ERA leader, and as a team, I think they are third in ERA. So the defense and the pitching has gotten it done. But anyway, Cubs, Astros coming up a little bit later on. There's been a lot of manager stuff percolating. You mentioned the bad Ron Washington news.
Yeah, it makes me really sad.
Yeah, it's a big time bummer.
I hope he's okay. I hope that he just needs the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that guy. And it seemed like things were starting to finally turn over a little bit there.
Angels are 40-40. I think they're two games out of the last wild card spot right now. Joe Adell playing well. Just called up another kid, Christian Moore, who hit two homers in his in one of his first games.
Are they the team of the moment?
They might be Sunday morning's team of the moment. We'll have to see how the next couple days go.
Yeah. I mean, right, we have to be in the moment to find the team.
That's exactly right. Be where your feet are.
Yeah, it might be the Cubs. They pitch a couple shutouts here, and you start looking at the scoreless inning streak.
While we're on the topic, could you guys hear Dustin today?
No.
He felt the need to sing a little bit.
Heat of the moment.
We didn't need to hear that. We could read your lips.
Let him go. Come on. Yes, let the man go. Good for you, Dustino.
Wow, I didn't know that Mr. David was turning into such the curmudgeon.
He didn't like fun. Actually, what David doesn't like is Dustin. That's what
heat
it seemed.
Heat of the moment. We didn't need to hear that. We could read your lips.
Let him go. Come on.
Did we give congratulations to David Haw for making it into the Indiana Football Hall of Fame? Did we do that?
I did privately, as I'm one to do. Yeah.
I did as well.
Congratulations to him, man. That's a big deal.
I didn't at all. Not privately, not publicly. And now it just is going to seem like I'm piling on to Lawrence doing it.
Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall!
I got no chance for getting David's respect in this moment.
David is on a very short list of guys that play D1 football that don't talk about themselves playing D1 football. And the list is him and Ryan Shiverini. Two guys that do sports in this town, both started on D1 football teams, and neither one of them talks about it.
And Anthony Heron, I never hear him talk about his time.
No, Big Ant will tell you. Right. Big Ant made it to the pros, though. That's different.
Did you guys know he sacked Tom Brady?
I did.
David Haw? Really? He was a safety, I thought. He's a little older than Tom.
He was a box safety. He blitzed a lot.
And they definitely weren't playing Ball State back in the day. Hey, Ball State.
That's when I texted Mr. David. That's what I said. I said, I see you over there, Ball State.
I think David actually still has my Nick Saban book because I actually read that book on the way from Montreal to Quebec City on the train.
Clearly, he has not read the Nick Saban book because that's not leadership, Mr. David, well, with what you did to Dustin today.
Yeah,
you gotta let him cook and sing at the same time.
The whole reason that I gave it to David is because there's a lot of Eberflus mentions in the Nick Saban book, which is why I wasn't surprised that Nick Saban would show up on Hard Knocks, because he clearly was influential to him. Hey, Ball State, bring that book back.
There you go. See, now you've congratulated him and admonished him.
You know what, Ball State over there, I got you.
Stinger! Hey, Stinger too! Anyone named this bee? This bee reminds me of David Haw. Hey, Ball State! Bzzz! Bzzz!
We got to get Shiverini on the show too at some point. A guy I really like, and he covered the Bears when I covered the Bears. But you would never know! You would never know!
Funny story about him. Colorado fan, and
hey,
Alex,
we'll decide whether it's a funny story.
Okay, so I was like, this guy looks familiar. I'm like, why does he look so familiar? And then I realized his brother was the OC for Colorado for like 6 years through two regimes.
So yes.
Like, oh, yeah. They look exactly the same.
I'm going to call that an interesting story, but not a funny one. Wow. Okay?
Fair enough.
I just don't lead
with
that.
Is it not interesting?
Is your foot hurting now?
No, I'm just...
You're taping it out on poor Alex.
Yeah, keep saying it. When people lead with, I got a funny story, it's you're asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble. Let the listener decide. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
Right. I think it was funny. So say we all.
No, that's just you. I disagree with you.
I'm telling you that the texters and the mob are going to agree with me on this one.
That they're going to say that story from Alex was funny?
I'm going to take the populist support my guy.
First 10 texters.
And say it was funny.
Was it a funny story that Ryan Cheverini's brother was the offensive coordinator?
Yes.
And Alex thought he looked familiar?
Yes.
312-644-6767.
We are here to support Alex.
Oh, no. See, weren't you the guy who said the truth was good? Now you just want to support him by saying it was a funny story when it clearly wasn't a funny story.
He's a kid.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Alex is not. Alex is
leave him alone.
He's a grown man.
That is true.
Thank you. He's got thick skin. He went over to Walgreens. He got some skin thickener. He rubs it all over his arms.
Gotta be careful with that.
Yeah.
Could change your complexion.
Empat says, funny story. His texture says, my belly hurts from Alex's story.
That's right.
Interesting, but not funny, says Dodger Boy.
Well,
there
he's,
we go.
He's also not funny.
Dodger Boy?
Yeah.
Wow, that's, you're lashing out.
How about that?
You're lashing
what
out.
What do you think about
texters?
That?
I don't know. So far, we're 2-1 for funny over not funny, Alex. We'll keep tabs.
We're supporting you, Alex.
I'll actually vote for not funny because it's actually not that funny.
See?
You are right, technically.
That's
but you
what
are
I'm
very
saying.
Literal here, Speaks.
Two more no's.
Very literal.
Two more no's, so it's 3-2. Another one, hilarious story. So we're 3-3. Gave me a headache. That means not funny.
Well, it might 4-3, be. Might have given funny. Him a headache by laughing. You don't know.
I guess. All right. We won't count that one. Please only say whether it was funny or not funny, texters. This is important stuff.
I'm sorry that he's stepping on your comedy bits, Alex.
I've derailed the segment.
I think
it's my bad.
Hilarious story from Alex. That's 4.
That's
and then
right.
No from Steve Stonevoice. It's 4-4. Another one says, you framed an Asia poster. Yes. I stand by it. It was from laughter, says the texter. So it's 5-4 in order of funny.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Oh, and Sean says, I vote funny in the way people use that praise. Okay, 6-4. Alex, I'm sorry. The story was funny.
It was.
Apology accepted.
Get that.
Way to go.
All right. Anyway, managers are interesting and good and can be very funny as well.
And Tito Francona is at the top of the list because we found a story that speaks to why he's so bleeping beloved by players, but we'll get to that one in a second. He did have the player. He has a player that does a Harry Carey impersonation, which is really a Ryan Dempster impersonation of Harry Carey.
But it's Brent Suter, the former Milwaukee Brewer, quirky as hell and beloved.
Yeah. So that happened on Tuesday night.
It was great to be out here. You guys have a good one today. Let's win a ball game. You know, kind of thing.
See, it's all. So wait, let me make sure I can get this right. It's that guy doing a Dempster who's doing a Will Ferrell of Harry Carey. Is
I
that
I thought
right?
He was coming out asking me what would Harry Carey say, because like throughout the day he's always asking me like, hey, what would Harry Carey say about this? What would Harry Carey say about that? And so I thought I beat him to the punch. He wasn't actually asking that at all, but I just I went like,
it was great to be out here. You guys have a good one today. Let's win a ball game. You know, kind of thing.
So that's on the mound. He's giving him Harry Carey on the mound. I think it's Brent Suter's impression of Derek Holland's impression of Ryan Dempster's impression
of
Will Ferrell's impression
of Harry Carey.
Correct. I think that's what it was.
I think that is fair.
But the Mike Napoli story that you're talking about that he told on the Eric Hosmer podcast.
Yeah, the Digging Deep show with Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas. This story is legendary. And if you were wondering, one, if Mike Napoli, who was with the Cubs for a long time, it was a legend, yes. If you were wondering if Tito Francona is a legend, yes. Here's why.
I got up to probably like $900,000 in front of me, 14 straight hours. You know, I was having a couple drinks, and then I got to the casino. It was like 2:30, and like, we're not serving alcohol anymore. And I'm like, what? I need a drink when I'm playing some blackjack, you know, like what's going on? And I'm like, I'm staying here till 5:30 till I can get a drink. I go back to the cage, I get like 20 grand and come back, and like 2 hours later I have like 200 grand in front of me. Like, this is insane, right? I got up to probably like $900,000 in front of me, 14 straight hours, Tito call me. I miss every appearance, everything the next day. And Tito's like, hey, man, you're on a heater, stay. Like, I don't care, whatever.
Brent Cota says, stay, dude.
Stay. He's like, hey, you're on a heater. This doesn't happen often. Like, go, you're good. So I walked out with like $600,000.
That's crazy. And they were apparently making like Facebook groups because you were tipping out everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to somebody and they were like, man, everybody in the casino walked away with like $300,000 in their paycheck.
That's awesome.
It's great. Now I'm at the IRS. Yeah.
Thanks, Hoss. We can cut all this too. We can cut it all.
God, first of all, it kills me because I kept wanting to get Napoli on the radio when he was here as a coach and never did. That dude is
wacky. Lived a life.
Ooh, he's lived a life. But Tito Francona saying to a player, yeah, don't worry about today's game. You're on a heater. This doesn't happen often.
But think about that. Think about like Tito being like, hey, man, are you all right? Yeah, Skip, I'm at the blackjack table and I'm up $900,000.
Whoa.
And him being like, oh, just stay there. You're not in the lineup tomorrow.
Dude.
Just stay right there.
That is the power of being a backup catcher, I think, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So then Napoli shows up. I mean, he was on the active roster. I don't think they made a roster move. So he's there. He's available. But Lord knows you don't want to put him in.
Nope. Not after a night like that.
Wow.
Good for him. It's so awesome. But you know what? I started thinking, of course Francona is okay with someone gambling and then performing. Who was the baseball player that he helped get a baseball contract?
Michael Jordan.
Yep. Yep. He's seen it all.
Jordan loved him.
Sure did.
You ever hear the Francona story? Well, I'll save it for another time.
Yeah, because we need to talk with Sahadev Sharma about the Cubs, who are getting ready to take on the first place Houston Astros next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Hi, Boog.
We're a very important radio show, you know?
Yeah, you are. So very important.
I mean, do people have any idea?
That was my sincerity there. You want me another reading of that?
Yeah.
I'm going to count you down, okay? In three, two, one.
So very important.
Oh, perfect. That feels nice.
Yeah.
Afternoons on The Score.
I mean, it'll be fun. It'll be a good series. Obviously, first time back, so it'll be cool to, you know, see the guys, catch up with them, but we're also there to, you know, play against them, so a little more focus on that.
It's Kyle Tucker going back to Houston for the first time. He is excited, but he also just kind of always seems muted, and that's okay. If that's who he is, that's who he is. Let's talk about the Cubs and the Astros as they get it on. Tonight, we will have pregame coverage starting at 6:35 on The Score on the Southwest Airlines Radio Network. Sahadev Sharma writes for The Athletic, and he does an incredible job of it. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Sahadev, thanks so much for joining us. Why don't we start with Kyle Tucker? It's been a half a season, and you had spring training to kind of get to know him. What do you know about Kyle Tucker, and what might it be like for him returning to a place where he won championships?
Yeah, what you said there, he's excited to return. I immediately said, is he? I didn't get that when I talked to him, but I completely agree with you. He's muted. We don't know what his emotions are because he's not one to like display them out for everyone to see. He's a very calm individual. I think he is able to compartmentalize. I think this is a strength, and Craig Counsell has expressed that to us. So you're not going to see him scream and yell. If he strikes out, he's not going to freak out. If he hits a home run, he's not going to thump his chest. This is just who he is. He's a very baseline. It is kind of perfect for Craig Counsell because it's how he looks at the game as well. He is who he is. Why act like someone else? And then you see the numbers he puts up, and there's nothing to complain about. So I was looking at something today and realized that Kyle Tucker is on pace for his best season by WAR.
Wow.
I didn't even realize that. That's how it's just like ho-hum he is as a star. I mean, we know he's a star. That's why they acquired him. That's why they paid so much for him. And he just is so consistent. He has a few bad games, and people are like, what's wrong with Kyle Tucker? And then he goes out and has a three-hit game, has hits a home run, and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, he just does that. It's not a big deal. And what I've learned is you barely notice how great he is. You see it in game, right? But then you almost miss how good it is. It's really impressive to just go in day in, day out, have that, you know, same heartbeat and same attitude. And I think it helps everyone else to not be so up and down, because it's easy to kind of, you know, ride the roller coaster. I'm sure there were fans freaking out Wednesday morning, and nothing, you know, it's the same old Cubs. They're still in first place. They have the same lead they did Monday morning.
Cam Smith has a 744 OPS in 67 games. Isak Paredes has an 820 OPS in 77 games. He's got 16 homers. Hayden Wesneski is having Tommy John surgery and is out for the year. We know what Kyle Tucker is. How does this trade look to you halfway through the season?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about this earlier today as well. How different would the team look if they hadn't have traded for Kyle Tucker? Cam Smith probably isn't up with the Cubs. I'm not sure if they're as aggressive as Houston decided to be with Cam Smith. I'm not sure if Isak Paredes has those same numbers. Does he? I mean, I don't think Wrigley was terrible for him, but outside of Tampa Bay, maybe Houston's the next best ballpark for him. Boston would be a really good ballpark for him. I think Wrigley would have been fine, but with the wind blowing in as much as it has been, would we see those same numbers? I think there's a few ways to look at this. A, you got a superstar that is producing. That's great. B, just another piece of information, another move that shows Jed Hoyer can be aggressive. I think it started last deadline where we saw him make some aggressive moves, and then you saw it again in the winter. And it should give fans who were questioning, will Jed Hoyer make these aggressive moves, these win-now moves, to go and get a World Series or make a push in October? I think that gives fans confidence that he will, or should give fans confidence that he will. And, you know, everything that I've heard is they're going to be a very aggressive team this deadline. And I think the Kyle Tucker move kind of gives us a little more confidence that they will be.
Sahadev, now that we have a half a season of play behind us, what do you think the Cubs need?
Yeah, I think the obvious thing is starting pitching. It was screaming out at us after those first two games in St. Louis. If it wasn't screaming out at us all of June, Ben Brown and Colin Ray, they did really good work at times, and then they've had some pretty rough outings. The inconsistency makes it hard to, you know, it's not great when you don't know what you're getting start to start, especially with what Ben Brown is doing. I think Shota Imanaga's return is huge. They need one more starter. They have to get at least one more starter. Bullpen depth, you know, I like this bullpen a lot. They didn't give up a run against St. Louis after a really tough weekend where it would have been easy to hang your head because the wind was blowing out for three games. And if you weren't, you know, if you just look at the box score, you think the bullpen was an issue. It wasn't. A lot of guys that aren't their number one relievers were pitching. And B, the wind was howling out all weekend. That's a really tough day to pitch. I would say ignore those pitching lines from last weekend. And, you know, I think a right-handed hitter may be needed. I still am saying let's just give Justin Turner a little bit more time. It's probably been plenty of time, but you never know with a veteran like that when it turns on. But right-handed hitter, maybe they have a month to go look and figure out what's going on with Matt Shaw and what's out there. And then I think right-handed hitter is something that Jed Hoyer is going to look at.
Yeah, in this series, the Astros have four lefties coming out of that bullpen, man. It's like, and they're all pretty good. So that right-handed hitting is going to get exposed again. Nico Hoerner's right-handed, just hit his first home run. That was nice. He's been really good. You wrote about him earlier in the week. That's our guy. We talked to him on Tuesdays. But man, he's headed towards another year of four wins above replacement, which would be kind of remarkable for his profile, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a guy that you don't realize is a four-win player unless you watch him every day. Not flashy, but he's got an edge to him. He's got this hustle to him that the team feeds off of. I really liked listening to Jameson Taillon talk about him and say that you know, it felt like there was something missing in Japan. And then they got back home and he realized, oh, it's Nico. Nico brings something to the team that you can't quite measure. They see him out there doing everything right, whether it's running the bases, how he approaches things at the plate, his defense, and then all the work he puts in before, after games, in between starts. He's the pro, like whatever the equivalent of a gym rat is in baseball. That's Nico Horner. And he throw out all the cliches, he gets it. and that's Nico Horner. He's been a pleasure to cover all this time. And now that he's on a winning team with where he doesn't need to be one of the best players on offense, he doesn't need to be the star on offense. That just puts, you know, that's he's exactly the type of fit for the fifth best player on a really good team. Doesn't need to do too much. Just put the ball in play. If he hits the occasional homer, great. That's gravy. But he doesn't need to be more than what he is. And that's a really valuable player. I don't know. We talk about this a lot, but there is so much value in saving runs on defense. I don't know how many runs he's saved, but it feels like every other series he's making some huge play that's keeping a critical run off the board.
Sahada, would you try his pizza that he's making at Rinaldi's? It's spicy pepperoni, hot honey, light cheese, made a little crispy, and pineapple. Where are you on the Nico pie?
Well, he had me until the end there. I don't know about that pineapple. And frankly, like, I can't eat all that spice when it's 95 degrees out. That's not. I sweat already when I eat spice. 95 degrees out, I'm gonna be dripping. That generally sounds good. The pineapple. I'm not a pineapple guy. Maybe wow. Say give me the Nico no pineapple.
Okay, it's fair enough. I learned this lesson from the great Terry Bores that if you're gonna go spicy, the ice cream is always a great choice. After okay. spicy, ah. do you have a fail safe after you do spicy, or do you just say, you know what, I'm going to deal with the consequences?
Yeah, I think it's just deal with the consequences. It's, you know, like I don't have like a regular routine as someone that regularly eats spicy Indian food and grew up eating it, and you had to just you weren't truly Indian unless you ate all the spicy food with my dad and brother. So like, I had no choice. I had to eat the spicy food. There was no out. There was no like, okay, now you get, try this and it cools your tongue down. you had to survive. So it's kind of just like how I grew up, but I do, it's, my son gives me a little hell now because I struggle with it. It's not, I don't have the tolerance that I used to, and I just drip sweating, and he loves to laugh at me. So
yeah, and so as I we just, get older, the acid reflux part of it is not fun either.
Yeah, well, you're an adult. You get to eat whatever you want now. You get to define. I don't know if you heard, Craig Counsell was on with us the other day. We asked him if he was a tater tots guy, and he said no, because his mom used to force him to eat tater tots when he was 8 years old. These things leave a mark, so.
Absolutely, you're right.
Yeah,
it's like when I bought my first pair of Jordans. It's like, wait, I don't have to, like, it's my money. I don't have to ask my dad for permission. He'd never buy me Jordans. Uh-huh. I can buy Jordans now.
Yeah.
So have you and Boog like done a mix and match on the Jordans? Like, you guys had a conversation because he's a big Jordan guy too.
Yeah, his collection, you know, dwarfs mine. There's no competition there, and he's also got. I have big feet, but I don't have Boog big feet. He's got like size 15 or 16, something ridiculous like that.
Mm-hmm. What did you make of the way that Pete Crow Armstrong reacted to the mistake over that night and sort of the next couple of days, and the fact that Craig Counsell, as he told us, and I'm sure told you guys, did not really talk to him about it. Just kind of texted him the next morning and said, are you doing okay? Just double checking. Just kind of letting him be a professional. What'd you make of all that?
Yeah, I thought, you know, if this is a guy that's out there making mistakes regularly or just, you know, can't handle the moment, is really struggling and is overwhelmed by it all, that'd be one thing, right? You'd want the veterans to get that guy, calm him down. You'd want the manager to make sure he's okay. I think firing off a text, just just covering your bases and making sure the guy's fine is the perfect perfect response. Don't overreact to it. Don't make it bigger than it needs to be. I think Pete was pretty hard on himself after the game. He was he doesn't like any sort of failure. He's pretty grumpy after any game where he, unless they win, if he doesn't do well, he's not thrilled with himself. He's hard on himself, but he's also not the type that dwells on it. I don't see him coming in grumpy the next day where you can't talk to him about the moment or anything like that. But his answers were short. He wasn't thrilled, but he was there waiting to speak to us after the game and owned it. He's just not the one that's going to expound on it. There are certain guys that are very reflective with the media. I'm sure he handled it the best as he knows how. And there was, I don't think it needs to be something that is talked about for days in, on end, because it's just not something that happens regularly. It was a silly mistake that I'm sure no one wanted to happen. And I'd be surprised if this becomes a regular thing with him.
Let's do a threat assessment in the National League Central, because the other three teams in contention have had a good couple of weeks. You saw the Cardinals up close. Who's the biggest threat to the Cubs and why?
Yeah, I don't think the Cardinals have the pitching. They've also been remarkably healthy. I don't think they've had a single injury, whether it's starters or bullpen. I don't think they've had an injury. That's not normal in today's day and age of pitching. I just don't think it's that intimidating. The Brewers have a lot of pitching. The Reds look good and they're getting better. I'm sure you guys saw what Chase Burns did the other day. They have a lot of good young pitching. I wouldn't rule out either of those teams. Right now, the Reds seem a little scary. When you have that young talent, that scary young talent that's starting to figure it out. Obviously, Milwaukee has that kid, Mizorowski, who looks nasty. There's just a lot of good young talent in this division right now. And it's, if it clicks for these guys, either one of those teams could be pretty scary. Jackson Chourio hasn't really turned it on as far as I know. And he could figure it out and click any moment like he did late last season. So both those teams, I would watch the Reds and Milwaukee. I don't know which one's going to make a run at it, but I don't think the Cubs are running away with this division. There's a lot of talent. We'll see who buys and how they buy. And the Brewers are weird, right? They could be like the Rays in the sense that they do the buy-sell thing, so I don't know what they'll look like after the deadline either.
Yeah, they're smart. They're smart. Brandon Woodruff making a rehab start at AAA could be back for Milwaukee within a couple of weeks. But the Reds, I mean, the Francona effect mm-hmm. that Lawrence has been afraid yep. of, and the fact that they DFA'd Candelario the other day and called up Chase Burns, and Nick Kroll, the GM, said, this is a statement of intent. It was like, oh, yep. boy, are they finally now going to be aggressive at the deadline? I think they might be. I think you might be onto it, Saadov.
Yeah, I would watch out for that Reds team. I say Milwaukee because I always underestimate them, and then they – you know, prove me wrong year after year. They're just a really well-run organization. But the Reds, talent-wise, I just look at them and I say, ooh, if they get going, they start figuring it out. Weird first half for them. If they start clicking, watch out. There's a lot of talent there. And like you said, Francona, now they have that experienced manager that everyone knows is special that you know they could make some noise. So this is not going to be an easy second half. You have to just appreciate that how well the Cubs have done and taking care of business, really avoided a downstretch. I cannot emphasize how impressive Wednesday and Thursday were after how down it felt. Maybe on the outside, probably not on the inside, but on the outside it seemed like the Cubs were on the precipice of like, ooh, is this their losing streak? Is this where things, you know, where they hit a bad rough patch? And they answered right away. Impressive stuff.
Saadov, as always, man, we'd love to talk with you. And the next time you're on, we're only talking spicy food. That's the only thing that we're going to talk about with you.
And we're totally going to play that for Nico, that you'd order the Nico with no pineapple. Guaranteed. So good luck. Good luck with that in the clubhouse.
All right. Thank you. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
That's Sahada Sharma from The Athletic. He's dope. I love that guy. By the way, we didn't mention this, and we probably should have. I don't want to say that it's seismic, but it's definitely interesting. There's a new CBA in the NHL. They're expanding to 84 games.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know if it's seismic. I'll go ahead.
The idea of a league expanding to
play more games?
Yeah. They're going to drop some of the exhibition games, which makes it so they're following a little bit of the NFL model.
Yeah, I get it.
In that regard. But you know, we always have basketball and hockey in the same place as far as games. And now, they in the 2026 season, they are going to go to 84.
Interesting. So the teams get two more games to have revenue for.
Yep.
One more
two
home.
More real games.
Yeah, two more real games as opposed to the expansion games, and that helped them give a little something to the players.
They're also going to shrink those long, crazy Marian Hossa contracts. Like, they aren't going to have a lot of those anymore. And I have not gotten into this, but I am fascinated now, and it will be one of the things that I read about this weekend.
Wow.
Is going to be the CBA agreement that the NHL and the players have gotten. But yeah, 84 game seasons are coming your way.
Lawrence, there may be no more controversial steroid player than Jose Canseco. And he doesn't even seem to know who a former executive is who's been calling him out.
Yeah, we'll hear from that, and we'll get an update on Mr. David, too.
Oh, I like that.
Next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
Thank you, boys. Glad to, hey, Dave, congratulations on the Hall of Fame, baby.
Hey,
I didn't know you were swinging like that, Dave. I didn't know you had an arm like that, baby.
Thanks, Stacey. Appreciate it. So Stacey thought David played baseball.
Didn't know you were swinging like that and had an arm like that.
Thank you, boys. Glad to, hey, Dave, congratulations on the Hall of Fame, baby.
Hey,
I didn't know you were swinging like that, Dave. I didn't know you had an arm like that, baby.
Thanks, Stacey. Appreciate it.
You know, that's what happens when you fill in for Ozzie Guillen, as David Haugh has done a couple of times. See you on a ball game or doing pre and post. It's natural for Stacey
to
think that.
Is that for your arm?
Yeah. No, that's okay.
It's your hand.
It's the spirit of the, it's the intention.
That's great.
It's the thought that counts.
That's fun stuff.
Yeah.
It is the thought that counts and the intention. And it is also fun stuff. I agree on all those fronts. Every single
one. Would you like to hear more fun stuff?
I like fun.
Here's Jose Canseco doing a cameo.
Hey, Jose Canseco here. This is to Emily Nyman. Hope I'm saying that right. From David Sampson. Says here, Emily's a huge Yankee fan and also loves the Miami Marlins. She thinks David Sampson was a great team president because he got a ballpark built in Miami. So what? She also loves nothing personal with David Sampson. She also has nothing personal with David Sampson, of course. Is a huge fan of mine. Well, thank you for being a huge fan of mine. I have no idea who this guy is you're talking to, and it wasn't really that difficult to get a ballpark in Miami. As a matter of fact, Miami's like a hellhole. Oof. I can't stand Miami. The politics there are brutal. Ugh, it's just awful. Well, I'm glad you're a fan of mine. I want to give you a big forearm bash right there. Do I still have it? I still got a little bit, right? Not bad for a 58-year-old man. I want to wish you the best of luck, and I'm glad you're a big baseball fan. Like the Yankees? Do you like the Yankees and the Marlins? Wow, what a weird combination, Yankees and Marlins. East Coast, West Coast. All right. Take care and have fun.
Does he know where Miami is?
Those are both on the East Coast, sir.
Like the Yankees? Do you like the Yankees and the Marlins? Wow, what a weird combination. Yankees and Marlins. East Coast, West Coast.
No, forget it. He's rolling.
Nope. Both those on the East Coast. Those are known as East Coast cities.
He like totally crapped all over Miami right there where I assume Emily's from.
It was also very difficult to get a ballpark built in Miami.
That's the whole thing. It was extremely difficult.
Partially because of Jose being right, because of the politics of Miami.
And also, he had it right. It is nothing personal with David Sampson. That's the podcast.
I love David Sampson.
Oh,
wow. What a weird combination. Yankees and Marlins. East Coast, West Coast.
Nope. That's a wrap. Still not the case.
Ever tell you about the poker games at Jose Canseco's house?
You used to play at the poker games at Jose Canseco's house?
I never got to one. I heard about them, and I was invited one night and couldn't go, and I greatly regret not being able to go. I'll tell you this. $200 buy-in, right? He got unlimited buy-ins. Not everybody else.
It's his house.
Yeah.
House rules.
But that means that he could play crazy and play wild and always just buy back in, and the rest of you are just sitting there trying to play normal, straight, safe, smart poker.
It could be, though, that you could take a lot of money from him, though.
That's right. And that was the deal. And you didn't say no because you got invited to Jose Canseco's
house. I think that was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. I wanted to play. I never got there.
He doesn't know what coast it's on, though. That's a new one on me.
Wow, what a weird combination. Yankees and Marlins. East Coast, West Coast.
That is not...
The guns are looking good, though.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. He's an inspiration. In that regard.
It was just B12. That's all it was.
I get one of those. Hey, my headphones are doing that weird thing again. Oh, yeah. Wait, and then it just stopped. It's very strange. Anyway, Deus Ex Machina. Well, we still have a giveaway for you for the Windy City Smokeout. So if you're caller 6 right now to 312-540-0670, you're going to get hooked up. Performances that day at the Windy City Smokeout, Kane Brown and Megan Maroney and more. If you don't win, you can buy tickets at WindyCitySmokeout.com. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support that you show us every single day. We will try to repay the favor on Monday at 2 o'clock. Get out of here and don't get arrested this weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.